As I mentioned at the outset, today is Trinity Sunday. It's a celebration of our most holy faith, which are words right out of the scripture. And what they mean, our most holy faith, is that the Christian faith is unique. The uniqueness. One God, one entity, in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The title sermon is a little bit of a bumper sticker item, just like last week was when we talked about slime or spirit. The title of the sermon is Harmony or Hostility. And just like slime and spirit, we're hard and fast. So, is harmony or hostility based on our allegiance and our following of our triune God? I've chosen Jude, only as one chapter, as a sermon text summarizing our lectionary readings. Jude 19 through 22, through 20 through 21. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our most holy faith. Father God in heaven, we thank you that this one day of the year, we take this time to remember this particular issue about the uniqueness of our faith. We know, Lord, our faith is unique in many, many, many different ways. But Father, we thank you for Trinity Sunday. And we would ask that you would help us to gain an insight into not only appreciation and celebration of it, but an application of it for our life. Pray that you'd help us with this. In Jesus' name, amen. For the 27 years that we ran our Christian school here, there was nary a one where a prospective parent, at least one, sometimes multiple ones, but there is nary a year where a prospective parent would ask me this question: is your school going to put the needs of the classroom over the needs of my child? Is your school going to put the needs of the classroom over the needs of my child? Now, this question is telling. It is profound. And it is virtually unanswerable in the modern world. Work through this with me. Unanswerable in the modern world. To answer yes, the needs of the class come first. What's best for the classroom is going to come first. To answer yes, and to say that the needs of the class come first, is to watch that parent wave goodbye. See you later. It's not here what I came for. To answer no, oh, no, your child's individual needs alone will come first. To answer that way is to create a monster. But wait, there's more. And it's worse than that. To answer no, your individual child alone will come first, is not only to create a monster, but worse than that, to consistently apply that to every individual who asks me that question and say, no, no, your individual child, their needs will come first, To answer that consistently and make that commitment to every individual student is to create an unmanageable and a monstrous situation where there is no unit left and no unit that functions with or towards any sort of standard. This is the tension, philosophers call it a problem. Philosophers call it all things problems. They call it the problem of the one and the many. But this is a tension or a challenge of the group, that is the unit, right? The class, the classroom, second grade or third grade, but the class, the group, the one, if you will, vis-a-vis or over against the individuals, the many students that are in that room. It's a universal challenge. The group, the unit, the unity, if you will, or the individual, or the plurality. And this challenge is present in every single social setting. It may not be recognized, but it's there. And you and I have to deal with it every day. Which has primacy? The good of the country or the good of the individual citizens? What has primacy? What has ultimacy? The success of the business or the success of the employees, or furthermore, the success of the customers? There's tension between the one, the unit, and the plurality, the many, the individuals. There's tension there. The country or the citizens, the business or the employee, the church or the individual Christians. The individual members. By the way, these parents that ask that question, those that ask that question of me are subject to the very same challenge and tension in their own homes. Let's say they are a family of six. A family of six members. There's mom, there's dad, there's four kids. One family, one unity, one unit, one group. But six members. So the plan is, you know, let's hop into the van. Well, who's going to have primacy? Who's going to have ultimacy? Is it going to be that family unit? Or is each and every and any individual family member going to have ultimacy and primacy? And so a trip is planned. Now, I'm not going to ask how we decide where we're going or even if we're going. Let's leave that aside for a minute, but a trip is planned. And it's a trip that seems enjoyable and well-deserved after a whole year of work. It's vacation time. And so the family is going to an outing at the Great Escape. Well, let's dig a little bit deeper here. The big day arrives. And little Susie, she had lots of other things going on in her life, and she's just really, really, really tired. And in order to get to the Great Escape, you know, everybody's got to, you know, pile into the van pretty early, and wake-up time is earlier than she would like it to be. And little Susie, she wants to sleep in. And then there's Jimmy Jr., and he just wants to go play hoop with the neighborhood boys. The group has this beautiful trip planned to go to the Great Escape. Susie wants to sleep in all of a sudden. Jimmy wants to do his thing. Let's go back to our question. Are you going to put the class over the student? Are you going to put the classroom over my child? And sometimes this means that the unit has primacy. best for the class, what's best for the unit, what's best for the family comes first. And they go to the Great Escape. Yeah, Susie, you know, she's still a little bit tired. And Jimmy, well, maybe he's dreaming about playing basketball with the boys, but they go to the Great Escape. So the unit has privacy there. But other times, the individual is going to have privacy. The individual is going to have ultimacy. One of the plurality must have primacy and ultimacy. And so here's the family, they're heading up the north way. They're trying to get there. Susie's a little sleepy, Jimmy's daydreaming, but all of a sudden, they're going up the north way to the Great Escape, and Jimmy Jr. starts writhing in pain, and he's not faking it. He's writhing in pain. His appendix is about to rupture and burst, making him very ill, or perhaps even worse than that. His appendix is about to rupture. Guess what? Dad turns around the van, and for Jimmy Jr.'s sake, the trip that the unit had been waiting and praying and anticipating so much, the trip to the Great Escape becomes a trip to the hospital for Jimmy Jr.'s sake. Getting back to our classroom, look, and especially as Americans, we prefer maximum liberty, maximum individual rights, to the maximum ability that we can have, you know, individuals do their thing and work at their pace and have all sorts of liberty for learning. And we just really want that. We know the kids will flourish with that. We all enjoy maximum liberty. Freedom and expression. But wait a minute. When the fire alarm goes off, everybody stops. They all line up. And they quietly exit the building. And their individual rights go out the window. At least temporarily they do. Because all of a sudden, the primacy has to be the classroom. Even the school. And not the individual. And so the individual rights, at least temporarily, go out the window. They cease. And so there's Freddie, you know, Freddie loves his book, but he has to put his favorite book down. The fire alarm went off. Sally has to stop writing that secret note that she shouldn't be writing in the first place, privately to Julie. She has to put her little pencil down, put it away. Stand up, get in line, go outside, and listen to this. Emergencies always heighten the tension and the challenge between the group and the individual. Always. The examples I gave you were both emergencies. When I say emergencies heighten that challenge and that tension, I want you to think COVID. Now, the emergency may be real, it may be made up. I want you to think COVID because this challenge and this conflict between the unit and unity and plurality between the group and the individual rights has really been magnified. Here's one synopsis of what I'm saying today. If the group is ultimate, individuals are going to be sacrificed. In some way, they're going to sacrifice. If the group is ultimate. If the individual and their rights are ultimate, guess what? The group is going to be sacrificed. This is inescapable. And such is the tension and the challenge of group or individual primacy. But if you're going to have any sort of society, and I don't care if it's a little club where three kids are meeting together in a treehouse, if you're going to have any sort of society, you will have this challenge and this tension. Does the group come first? Does that have ultimacy and primacy, or is it the individual? Our most holy faith, different from any other faith, listen to me, has a model, and it makes a way for harmony to rule. Because in our triune God, there is equal ultimacy between the one and the many, the group and the individual. The Christian faith, and the Christian faith alone, models and makes for a way for harmony to rule. For the Christian faith alone addresses the unit, the Godhead, the triune one God, and it addresses the plurality, the individual members, showing us equal ultimacy and equal primacy. And listen to this, where this model, where Trinitarian understanding of how a society is supposed to function, where Trinitarianism fades, where Trinitarian faith fades, so does harmony. And what you're left with is you're left with the same tension and the same challenge, but it's met not with harmony, but with hostility. And I'm an individual, I really don't like what the group is trying to do. And if I'm a member of the group, I really don't like what those people who think they have all their individual rights are doing. Hostility. Now, I submit to you that at least over the last 100 years, where the Trinitarian faith has diminished, hostility has been on the ascendant. Hence, harmony or hostility? We haven't, and we're not going to reference too many scriptures here, but I will reference Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. There's the Trinity is here. God the Father's there, Jesus Christ is there, the Holy Spirit is there, the model is there, the way for us to have peace and harmony is all there. And by the way, this idea of having peace, we can have peace with God, we can have peace with one another, we can have peace in ourselves, all of those things are lacking in our culture as well. But we can also have a society which is marked by harmony and not hostility. Because of the Trinitarian Christian faith, Trinitarianism and the Trinitarian faith is fading in our culture. And our Christian faithless society is increasingly displaying the hostility that these tensions and these challenges bring. These challenges, these tensions will come. You can't live life without them. They're the stuff of life. Where have we arrived now? We have arrived at a point where the collectivists, those interested in what's best for the group, or at least what they think is best for the group, want to wipe out individual rights. Completely wipe them out. Hey, we can't have that. The group is more important. You want to think government? Think government versus individual rights. But not limited to that. But But if we have this environment of hostility, the collectivists want to wipe out the individual rights. And those who favor individual rights, they want to wipe out any and all forms of collectivism. In circles like ours, just say the word collectivist, and all of a sudden, you've demonized the group. And by the way, the group could be a family, it could be a church, it could be a business, or it could be a nation. As I've said elsewhere, you know what? Where you have this hostility, and if the unit succeeds in obliterating individual rights, it ends up destroying itself because, as we talked about last week, we're built on slaughter. And if the individuals all end up winning the day against the collectivists, you have no order. You have social anarchy. You don't want any one of those two to win to the obliteration of the other. Most of our cultural wars are the result of hostility winning the day over Christian harmony. Think about the cultural wars that we have. Think about the cultural wars that we have going on right now. Think gun control, where there's obviously individual rights. But there obviously is this idea here of a unit, a country, not fraying apart. And without the Christian faith, hostility. And without the Christian faith, and because of hostility, the one wants to destroy the other. And the other wants to destroy the opposite. Hostility is winning the day. We're celebrating the Trinity. Because we have the solution. Now, what I mean by solution is that you'll never have tension or challenge. I'm not suggesting that. What I am suggesting is we have the model and we have the way to deal with this. And only the Christian faith has this. Ours is the most holy faith. We read that in Jude. What does the word holy mean? It means set apart. We get our word sanctified from it. It's special. It's distinct. It's different. I mean, some of us have special tools in our garage that do one thing and one thing only. It's sanctified. It's holy. It's special. It's set apart. The Christian faith is set apart from other world systems and philosophies and religions. That's what Jude is telling them there. And he's describing our most holy faith by saying it's about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But our faith is not only holy in the sense that it's special and it's unique and it's exclusive. Holy means all of those things, but he wants them to be built up in their most holy faith. It's like being set apart and special on steroids. How different the Christian faith is from any other worldview or life system. Most holy is set apart on steroids. Now, I don't say this. My motivation is not to create division in our culture. My motivation in reminding us that we have a most holy faith, this Trinitarian, this triune God that we serve, is not about me trying to stir up division. I'm saying all of this because it is the only remedy for division. The only remedy for division. Our most holy faith means this, that we can forget about the mantra that says all religions are, they're all the same. Right, we're there. Right, whatever. They're all the same. Nothing could be further from the truth. Again, we're Americans. We don't care. To each his own. C'est la vie. Whatever floats your boat. You want to choose Buddha? Fine. You want to choose Muhammad and Islam? Fine. You want to choose Confucius? Fine. You want to choose to be an atheist? Fine. But all those boats will sink. So, really not. And why will they sing? Because in any world system that is outside of this Trinitarian faith, where there is this equal ultimacy between the group and the individuals, in any system outside of the Trinitarian faith, hostility is the only answer to the inevitable societal challenges and tensions that we will face, and we will face them. The Christian faith is so unique in this. There's nothing like it. All of those others will produce either a way too heavy reliance on the unit, the one, crushing individualism, or they will produce a way too heavy reliance on individual libertarianism, where no one is ever going to invade my God-like self, resulting in a tyrannical anarchy. That's what those other systems produce. All of those systems gravitate, favoring the one or the other. But the common denominator in all those other systems is a hostility that rules the day. I can make a really long list here, but let's pick Islam. You have Allah. Do you think Allah gives equal ultimacy or primacy to any other than himself? Islam doesn't. Whatever Allah says goes. And so if it's off with their heads, it's off with their heads. Doesn't matter. The individual doesn't matter. He doesn't share any ultimacy with anybody. The individuals don't matter. Communism's the very same way. China's going to do what's best for China, even if they have to destroy all the individuals in the nation. Allah does not provide equal primacy to any other. Neither do the rest of any other so-called gods, including humanist institutions that make themselves out to be gods. And not all of them take the form of communism. Although if you were to look at the trajectory of the United States, the trajectory of the United States is going from a very heavy reliance on individual rights and responsibilities, and all of a sudden that is fading because there's hostility and an increased emphasis on, we need to have common sense gun laws because we have to do what's best for the country. And your individual rights be damned. And we have a disdain and we have a hostility towards that. But if you're on this side and you believe really, really strongly in those individual rights, you had better be careful that you're not exercising a hostility towards every form of collectivism. Because you are kicking in the teeth, not only the government, but the church, and the family, and the business, and everything else that goes by the name of a unit, a societal group, result of that is a tyrannical anarchy. You don't want that. All of those systems gravitate towards the one or the other with hostility ruling the day. The Trinity models harmony. It challenges us to imitate the equal primacy and the equal ultimacy that it provides to the unity and to the plurality. And so if a parent comes to me and says, are you going to put the classroom before my child? It takes more than saying yes or no, because it's going to be sometimes. Just like, you know what? It's sometimes with your own family. The Trinity models this harmony. And we are to imitate this beautiful picture of the triune God, the Trinity. We had a get together the other day, and I told some people a story that someone said to me, boy, you're really showing your age. I referenced Creedence Clearwater Revival or something like that. And I was talking to a 20-something, maybe a 30-something-year-old person. I'm going to show my age here a little bit as well with this one here. A generation ago, Rodney King asked this question. He begged this question. He said, why can't we all just get along? And the answer is, if and as we depart from the Christian faith, we depart from harmony. And we embrace hostility. And so no matter where we are on the spectrum here, we will have hostility and we'll be destroying each other. That's why we can't all get along. Division is the order of the day for worldly people. We looked at Jude and verse 19. It is these who cause division. Worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But Jesus shows us the better way. Jesus shows us the Father. And the Spirit is sent to empower us towards harmony, glorifying the Son. And so it's not that the Trinity is somehow, they're just showing equal ultimacy and primacy for each other as individual members. There's equal ultimacy between the group and the individual members. Our most holy faith is Trinitarian, verses 20 and 21. But you, beloved, the King James, I think, says, beloved brethren. Be, the tense of the Greek is, be building yourself. Make it your constant endeavor. Because you know what? You're going to have these challenges every day. Okay? Be building yourself up in your most holy faith. And there's our Trinity. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God. Waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our application of this sermon is this. When, not if, but when you are faced with and when you recognize this challenge and this tension in your life, prayerfully meditate on our lectionary readings. I didn't go through those today. And all of the other several scriptures I could have cited that speak about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And understand how distinct, how special, how most holy this Trinitarian faith is. Because left to yourself, you will only face your trial with that which is natural. You will only face your trial, the tension, the challenge, with hostility. And therefore, let us turn to the triune God, who alone can make for harmony. Father God in heaven, Lord, as we have addressed for this one time during the course of the year, this most holy faith you have given to us, help us. And help us to appreciate, help us to apply, help us not to be surrounded and absorbed and consumed by this world that's filled with hostility and looks only with disdain, viewing how the group and the individuals are pitted against themselves, working feverishly day and night to destroy the other. And thereby participating in a national suicide. Thank you. Thank you for this most holy faith that provides us with the model and the remedy. Lord, we don't plan to visit this subject again for quite some time. Help us not to forget it. Help us to apply it even to the tension and the challenges that we will likely face this day. In Jesus' name, amen.